We said that the issur of arayus, right, of immorality, is not limited only to actions, but it includes all the five senses. All the different senses can be involved in averas that are avak, you know, part of the things that either lead to immorality or themselves are, you're not clean from immorality if you're involved with any one of these, any one of the senses. Even though it's not the actual action, you don't get the actual punishment for it, but it includes the following. Bring your proof that the issur of arayus includes sight, speech, hearing, and even thought. He brings down the following. The maisa, where is what's it called? Things that are actions, but not actually acts of immorality, but actions that either bring to it or that are prohibited from themselves, but of a lesser degree. The hainu hanigio achibu kiyotse, physical contact between the sexes that is not in marriage, or a father to a daughter, or a father to a grandfather, or a grandmother, or a mother to a son, which are excluded. But any other physical contact, right, is also negiya, chibuk, right, hugging, kissing, holding hands. If it's done in a way that is affectionate, then it's also, according to some opinions, it's also from the Torah. And according to other opinions, it's also from the Rabbanim, but it's also, whether it's rabbinic or it's from the Torah, it's also. And therefore, the Gedolim of all the generations screamed against mixed dancing, which is what's it called, which is involves obviously physical contact. And if it doesn't involve physical contact, like disco dancing, there's other reasons why it's not okay. But the physical mixed dancing is also, it could be it's also from the Torah, it could be also from the Rabbanan. Whatever it is a part of the Isser of immorality. In fact, it's to the degree where some hold that it's Yehorig Valyavar. That if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, go mixed dancing or I'll shoot you, you have to be shot. So that, he says, we don't have to, then what happens though if it's not affectionate touching? For instance, where it's for sure mutter, a doctor. Right, is allowed to touch a woman patient if he needs to examine her or whatever. We're not talking about playing doctor, we're talking about real doctor. Right? That is what's it called, for sure not osur. Not only that, even though I saw in one of these publications recently, differently, but it's halacha is not like that. That women should not go to men doctors at all, should only go to women doctors, and it's only a real bidiyevit to go to. It's not true. No such thing. Not only that, but if you feel more comfortable with a man doctor because he's more of a professional or whatever than the woman doctor, a woman is allowed to go to a man, a male doctor, and the opposite is also true. A man's allowed to go and get the care of a nurse or whatever. As long as he's doing it for medical reasons, right? He's not going to the nurse for using her as an excuse or whatever. That's for sure also. But we're talking where you're doing it for medical reasons. That's okay. And the main consideration is who do you feel more comfortable with and who's the more of the professional. That's the cheshbon, not if they're a male or a female. So that's for sure okay. How about other physical contact that may not be affectionate, but it's not like a doctor or a nurse, which means like shaking hands. Okay? So there are really two opinions. One opinion says that shaking hands is not an affectionate thing, it's just a social grace, and therefore a woman can shake hands with a man can shake hands with a woman. There are people who hold like that. Stop. It's okay to do. It's not. Many poskim, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, holds that, and my Rashi Yeshiva held like that too, that shaking hands is awesome. It is, if it's not affectionate, it borders on being affectionate, and therefore it's awesome because it could easily come to be affectionate. And therefore it's awesome for a woman to shake hands with a man or a man to shake hands with a woman. On the other hand, if it'll bring to embarrassment, or you may lose your job because of that, right? Then because there are heterim in situations like that, if a person wants to, they can rely on this heter. Under normal circumstances, a person should avoid it. Now, sometimes it's very difficult in business situations or whatever, especially with esgoyim or whatever, don't understand, or worse, non-from Jews who don't really don't understand, but usually take much more offense than goyim do. Goyim respect, you know, your religion, but non-from Jews don't necessarily respect their own religion. So the best thing to do in those situations, especially family situations, where it's not, again, where it's not a father and daughter, granddaughter, mother, son, grandson, but other cousins, aunts, uncles, the same issue applies. So the best thing to do is to explain ahead of time. You know you're going to be in this kind of situation that, you know, you may not agree or whatever, but this is the way it is. This is not allowed to shake your hand. I'm not allowed to, you know, give you a hug or whatever. And at least if people know ahead of time, it makes it a little bit easier. If they're put on the spot, then it becomes very uncomfortable for them. Right? If somebody sticks out their hand and you don't, you know, reciprocate, they're standing with their hand out there, it's very embarrassing. And then they become on the defensive, which means that then they have to become on the offensive, and then it's very, very not good. The best thing I found in that situation is, if you don't want to rely on these heterim of shaking hands, is to apologize immediately. I'm sorry for, you know, putting you in this situation or whatever. Once you're on the defensive, they don't have to become on the offensive. And then usually it makes it easier. But the best thing to do is to avoid the situation. Sometimes in business situation or whatever, you're at a party, you know, when people are going around shaking everybody's hand, the best thing to do is to fill both hands with something. You're holding a glass and holding a plate and keep on holding them. People usually don't put out their hand to people to shake their hand if they're holding something. So it's not really a problem. But it's very embarrassing for a person to put out their hand and just have it in the air. So if you can find ways of avoiding people initiating that, that's better. I think I've told you the Panavizharov had this woman in Miami that adored him, an old lady, and Mrs. Zager. She's no longer in this world. And she was a seventh generation from the Vilna Gaon. She's had it on her wall, remember, her yichus. So she, Mamash, adored the Panavizharov. She used to call him Reb Rav. She thought that was his last name. So Panavizharov. So whenever Reb Rav would come to town and she would meet him, he knew that she was going to go to shake his hand. So every time he saw her, I saw this once, but some Rav told me that he'd seen this many times. Every time he saw her, like from yards away, he would say, "Ah, Mrs. Zager, what is a pleasure to see you." And he'd hold his hands up in the air, so she had no reason to put her hand out. His hands are up in the air. So he avoided it, right? She threw herself in his arm, right? That didn't happen, right? So there are ways of avoiding it. Sometimes it makes things a little worse. I was once at a party, and some kind of simcha, I don't remember what it was, and there were non-frum people there, and a woman was holding a drink in her left hand, and she extended her right hand to shake my hand, and I picked up my hands like this, like, you know, just to say whatever, and she realized, and she got so flustered, she didn't know what to do with her hand. But she got confused between this hand and the other hand. Instead of drawing this hand back, she went up like this and threw the drink all over, like, completely over me. So at that point, it was no problem anymore. She was the one who had to start apologizing, so I didn't have to apologize anymore for not shaking her hand. She had to apologize for soaking me with that drink. It's not a comfortable situation. If you can avoid it, it's better. If it's impossible to avoid and a person will come to a great loss, there are really choshuva poskim who hold that it's okay to shake hands. You shouldn't rely on that lechatchila, but b'di'evid, where it's very, very embarrassing situation or could cause a big loss or something like that, or shalom bayis problems, there's what to be, there are legitimate poskim to rely on. Okay. Okay, next. Berea. Okay, so that's physically, yeah.
Can I just ask, is there, like, when it comes to family, so things like step grandparents or things like that. Like, at what age do you have to stop the kids? Who, and sometimes if they don't even know that that's not really a grandfather or a
lechatchila, it's better to stop it when they're around 9 years old. Lechatchila. B'dievet till their bar bas mitzvah, there's a place to be makel. After bar and bas mitzvah, again, lechatchila should try to explain that that's the situation. If you can't explain it, since these kings are also not that kind of affection, okay? We're talking about step-grandfathers or whatever, where it's probably no worse than shaking hands by a regular person. Then, b'dievid, right? You don't have to spear the person through rather than let them hug you. In those kind of situations, where it's, you know, kissing cousins is a different story, right? But we're talking about, you know, grandparents, old aunts, uncles, or whatever. There's a place to limply, you know, not run away, right? Stick your fingers in the person's eyes or something like that. You could just, you know, let them take their course.
What if one does not have from relatives? Like his
so as I said, lechatchila, it's good. Look, they know that a lot of things you can't do that they don't know about. So it's good to let them know ahead of time, right? Or let somebody let them know ahead of time that this is your, this is what we do. Right, that because you're a religious Jew, physical contact with even with relatives is not allowed. It's only when people are put on the spot and that they don't know, and then they're made to feel like they did something wrong, that they have to get on the defensive. They know ahead of time, so most people will respect that. The people who won't, who a badafka, you know, want to make a point, you're not going to be able to control those people anyway. So.
Why should I make it look like I'm doing something wrong by not shaking my hand? No, because
you don't want to complicate and make enemies or whatever. So what's so terrible? And it's like, that's saying you did something wrong. I'm sorry for putting you in such a situation. I'm not sorry that halacha is like that. I'm just sorry that don't make them feel like they did something wrong. Feel that you put them in a situation. You're sorry about it. You're sorry that, you know, that it had to come to that. That's what you mean. Not you're sorry that you did what was right.
Until what age do you want to have contact between cousins?
Till what age? Probably at 9 already. Sure. But again, till bar bas mitzvah, there's that
area. Nieces
and
nieces also?
What?
Nieces and nephews also?
Nieces and nephews also. The only thing that's out of this is grandchildren, children, grandparents, parents. Anything else, there's no heter.
Rabbi said about the Argal Yavar, if someone points a gun, so even if it's not a Ne'ish HaSish?
Yeah. The halacha is that your Chayiv, your Harig Val Yavar, not only on the Aver itself, but on anything that's called an Abizrayu. And these things, anything that is connected, even if it's only a lav, even if it's could be, if it's only the rabbon. So, yeah, that's includes. Yeah.
How does touching in an affectionate way apply between brothers and sisters?
That's one step less. That's the only one that's not parents, grandparents, or whatever, and a relative that may not be usher. It's not right. But the Lashon of the Rambam seems to be that it's Megune, but not that it's Aser. Therefore, there are poskim who say that by a brother and a sister, there's more reason to be Mekel if you can't control it. Okay? If you can control it, there are poskim who hold it's the same as other relatives too. But since there are opinions, like Yichud between a brother and sister is different than Yichud by other relatives, so there is a difference between brothers and sisters, And therefore there's a place to be mako by brother and sister, not to make a big deal about it. Okay. Okay, now, so that's physical contact. Now, beria, looking. Omru Chazal, Yad liyad lo yinake ram, kolam maratze mos, miyodo liyoda, kedei listakel bo, lo yinake midino shel gehenim. So here the Gemara says that somebody who gives money from hand to hand to a woman in order to look at her. Now all of these halachas are basically talking to men about women. What will be the other way? A woman dafka looking at a man, not a man looking at a woman. We'll get to. I don't think we're going to get to it tonight. We'll leave it as a separate issue. It's not so simple, because there are obviously more isurim that a man can be over just by looking or thinking or whatever, fantasizing, than a woman can. That's one consideration. And therefore there's a shaila whether these halachas apply to women or not. They're all said to, from men looking at women. There's another consideration also, which is not a halacha consideration, just a metzias, that men are more affected by what they see when it comes to women than women are affected what they see by men. And therefore, it may be that a man isn't allowed to stand and gaze at women, but women don't have an issue of standing gazing at men. For instance, a man wouldn't be allowed to watch women's on Simchas Torah, stand up in the women's section and look down at women dancing downstairs. But women do it all the time. And l'chora, there's no issue in a woman standing and watching men dance. But there is an issue for a man to watch women dance. So there is a difference in re'i of seeing what's also for a man and what's also for a woman. But it's not across the board. There are things that a woman also, bere'iyah also can't do, and that we'll speak about. Right now, we're talking about men looking at women. Okay? How it applies to women to men, we'll devote a portion of a coming up shiur. But right now, let's speak about what he speaks about. So here, an interesting thing also that you can bedayik from this. So it says that a man who bedafka takes money from a woman, hand to hand, so he can look at her. And looking does not mean just to happen to look. Tistaklus means intent gazing. Okay? Looking with intent. That's what's usher. It's not usher to look at a woman stop. What?
Staring.
Right. Staring. Staring, intently gazing, not just staring, but intently gazing. Not stam to see something, okay? You don't have to, that doesn't mean that it's not an inyan maybe for men to protect their eyes and not to look around too much either, but it also means that there's no isser to look at a woman. And if there would, what in the world are we doing over here? I mean, what's it called? I'm giving a shear, and obviously I'm looking at you, I'm not blind, right? So, if it's osur, then how, right, how could it be? Okay. So, we'll see but there's no isur stam for a man to look at a woman, but to intently gaze for the intention of getting enjoyment out of it, that's for sure osur. So a person who, takes payment from a woman for some business or whatever, in order to be able to look at her, that's osur. Lo yinaka midina shel gehenim, it says. But you see from here that it's not the handing of the money. Right? There's no physical contact, but people hand money to each other. That's not the issue. The issue is doing it in order to look. That means that be'etzem, right, if you're not doing it in order to look, but you're handing money from one to the other, that's okay. So therefore the minig in many places where they don't give you your change, you put it down on the thing and you take it, which may be nice. But it's l'chora not 100% necessary from what it seems from over here, right? Again, if there's physical contact, that's a different story. But just to drop the money into your hand, right, is l'chora from here, not osur, because the only isur is doing it in order to be able to look. But that's not the reason you're doing it. Just the doing itself is not something that's osur.
And l'chora, you should watch what you're doing.
What?
And l'chora, you should watch what you're doing. Unless you...
Right, otherwise you drop the change, right? Right, so that's the biggest test why you're doing it, right? If every time you drop the change, then obviously you're not doing it for the sake of getting the change. Okay. The Omru Old, Mipnei Mahutzruchu Yisroh Shavosu Ador Kapora, Mishazonu Eineh Mino Erva. Right, In the Midbar also they needed kapara, because not that they did averis of immorality in action, but they looked where they shouldn't be looking. They looked at men to women in a way that was not proper. It means that a person who intently, a man who intently looks at a woman in order to get pleasure from it, even if it's just looking at her pinky, okay, then for that man it's also. Now the woman, it depends what how she is involved in this, right? A woman who is tsanua, who dresses properly, who acts properly, doesn't attract attention to herself in a negative way, and a man looks at her with the wrong intentions, it's totally his avera. She's just an object. She's a passive object, and she's not causing this at all. But a woman who flirts, right, who attracts attention and makes men look at her, right, wants men to look at her, and entices them to look at her, right, even if she's dressed sanua, and even if the parts of the body she's looking at are not parts that have to be covered, her face, even her pinky, but she attracts men to look at her, and the men then do that for their pleasure, so the man is over an isser, she is a goring. I would like to say she's over lifnei iver, but if the guy's blind, there's no problem. The right. What? Right. Okay. The Amru Ol, the Nishmarta Mikol Dovara, so he stakal ovan beisha noa vafilu hi pnuya, beisha siish vafilu hi mechueres. A person shouldn't look at a pretty woman, even if she's not married, because it's going to cause him to have thoughts that are not proper. And even if she's a married woman, even if she's an ugly old hag, you can't look at her for pleasure. Okay, so that is what's it called? That is in sight. Okay,
it's
looking.
What?
Who's mechueres? Right. You can look, but if you're looking at her again, if you're looking at her, mechueres is in the eye of the beholder. So if she's ugly, but you're looking at her, so it depends why you're looking. If you're looking at her because you can't imagine that somebody looks like so ugly, I never saw an ugly thing in my life, then probably there's no issue. But if to you, you're looking at her, even though she's ugly, but you're enjoying her ugliness, that could be usher too. Okay.
So in that case, where is Mutzer? So even if it's the Eish Ish?
What? No, so the Eish Ish, even if you're looking at her and you're looking at her as, my God, I never saw an ugly woman like that in my life, it's still Osir, she's an Eish Ish. Okay, just as to finish off this part, right, we're not going to get to where I wanted to, and I want to speak to each part a little bit more than what he says, but when it comes to sight, there is a difference between men and women. Okay, even though I've never been a woman, so I can't really speak from the other side, but they're definitely, from studies that are made, from the fact of the facts of the world, men are much more affected by what they see by women than women are by men. Right? The fact is that there are many, many men's magazines, in quotation marks, okay, that sell a lot of magazines. And when they try to make similar kinds of women's magazines, they didn't sell. Most of them either went out of business or whatever, had to find something else to put recipes in or something else. No offense to women. That's the way the Rebbeinu made the world. Why it's like that? Sure, but that's the way the Rebbeinu made the world. It's women are less affected by what they see. Men are more affected by what they see. That's the fact. And therefore, that's why it could be that many of these things apply to men and don't apply to women. Okay, that's just part of the metzius of how the world is. But there are things that a woman is also not allowed to do, and that we'll get to. We'll get to the end over here. He speaks about thought. Not looking, not hearing, not speaking, just fantasizing. there are certain things that a woman is usher in and a man, and there's certain things that only a man is usher, and a woman is allowed to fantasize in certain things that a man wouldn't be allowed to, but a woman would be allowed to. When we get to that, then we'll come back to the other things too, how it fits in.